We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns. This is your Monday, March 27th. It's going to be a quick episode today. I think we have a relatively quiet weekend where the Browns made some additions. We'll talk about one of them that they made on Sunday here. But before we do that and talk about some of the more of my takeaways from Jordan Akins on the film dive, I want to talk real quick about Andrew Berry's and maybe you missed this, it's entirely possible on a Sunday. The owners' meetings are happening down in Arizona, and I thought Berry had a lot of interesting quotes. This is where you get a little bit more of the candid stuff away from Berea from him, and had a lot of good stuff. So these are things that I found listening to things on Twitter, video that popped up from reporters covering it, so I just want to be clear that obviously I am not there, and this is coming secondhand and knowledge stuff that Berry said on Twitter videos, things like that, where they got some questions into him. So let's talk about it real quick. So I thought he said some interesting stuff about Elijah Moore. He said, we feel really good about Elijah, loves ball, hard worker. He's a good teammate. He's a guy that despite some of the ups and downs in New York, and obviously we have a really good relationship with that organization. My time working with Joe Douglas, obviously with the Eagles there, those two cross paths, Barry and Joe Douglas, and then Kevin's Stefanski's relationship with Robert Saleh. But we feel good about Elijah bringing him into our building, and we think think he's going to do really well here. So that, and really he talked too about the timing, which is something I've been reiterating, that they did reach out and try to make a deal for him at the deadline last year when it was pretty vocal that he wanted out of New York. And at the time, Berry said they were pretty adamant that they weren't looking to move him at that time. But the things change, obviously, when the Aaron Rodgers pursuit is happening, and they're trying to do everything they can to gather ammunition to go get him from Green Bay while also understanding, the additions that they're trying to do at wide receiver to support all of the things Aaron Rodgers wants. There's a lot of things that come with that, and just naturally Moore kind of gets pushed out. And that, to me, is wrong. I think the Browns are just doing a great job capitalizing on that, and I think ultimately the Jets, I've said this vocally now and on Twitter, that they'll live to regret that because I think they let a good wide receiver walk away for very, very little. Berry went on to talk about roles, and I think this is fascinating stuff. He digs in a little bit more on these things, particular to Elijah and Marquise, obviously referring to Marquise Goodwin. They really do have many different strengths, although people look at it on face value and say, hey, these are two undersized guys that really ran well coming out of college. He said, he continued on, their games are a little bit different. I would say a lot of bit different. Elijah's a little bit more of an inside-outside separator, which I fully agree with. Really good hands, really good route runner. Marquise, despite his age, he says, is still one of the fastest players in the perimeter in football. Although we talked a little bit late last week about his success in the slot was pretty impressive with the Seahawks in 2022. He said, so Marquise, he's not the typecast either of those guys, but we really see them as having perhaps maybe a little different function in the offense than when we get to the fall. And I think that to me should be obvious. If you look at these players, they don't play the game the same way. Moore is much more nuanced and thrives off of route running technician stuff. Even though he has that speed, it's a little different. I think Marquise Goodwin's speed pops a bit more, belongs a little bit more on the outside. But again, his ability to show some positional flex was really encouraging. And then the question kind of moved into who they have in the building right now, Mike Woods, David Bell, because those are guys that are still here that, you know, you'd like to see continue to develop. Barry said, we look at the receiver room as having a good, healthy competition now. He said all these guys have different skill sets. Like Mike Woods is probably more of your size, classical X separator. Probably if I could pair them with a vet, a little bit more like Amari, which again, Amari is a typical X for this offense in terms of skill set. Anthony Schwartz, he's referencing here, a little bit more like Marquise with his ability to really stretch the field vertically. And then David, I've used a comparison before. His skill set is more in line with Jarvis, you know, referring to Jarvis Landry when he was here, was a guy who was good size, strength, catches the ball really well. Maybe not the fastest, but he's smooth. He's a good route runner. So the way we go about looking at the receiver room as we try to get to the roster to 53 is making sure that we have the appropriate skill sets that allow Kevin in the offense to call the game with enough flexibility in the passing game. And above all else, that is what they're trying to do here. And I've been saying it since like November of last year, that this is an offense that's going to completely switch as it's aiming to curtail to Deshaun Watson, as it should, the guy that you've invested so much time, effort, and money into. It's going to be a different offense, and it should be. It really should be. You can still use Nick really effectively without building the offense in a way that is built to save bad quarterback play and pump forward running game. I think that they're a complete frame of mind shift going on here, and obviously, you know, you're looking at this whole thing. The focus is on wide receiver and diversity at wide receiver, and that's apparent what they're going to be doing a lot of. Barry talked about whether it was, you know, experience is what they're looking for, and he said, despite maybe how it's looked at times, I love speed, right? This is what he was aiming for. We love speed, and I should say this. There's probably no general manager head coach that says they want slow on the perimeter necessarily, but when you have an opportunity to add a good player who can really stress the defense with his ability to run, that's an opportunity that we're always going to look to take advantage of. He said, you know, speed took precedence over experience, even though Watson has more of both. He said, adding an element of deep, big play ability, because that's what we've seen Deshaun do in the past, the skill set in the receiving room. You can do it through the tight end room. We have David, who can stretch the field vertically. Jordan Atkins, who we added, he can stretch the field vertically. But having someone in the receiver room who can do that maybe a little bit more traditionally than Donovan, or the way Donovan and Amari do it, is important. So that was really the focus. That obviously answers a part of Elijah and a part of Marquise Goodwin's role here is to do more of that stuff. And he also had a great quote here about, you know, even as we sit here today, we're 2 weeks away from the start of the league year. There's no position group or part of the roster that's complete at this point. We're really, really early in terms of the transaction season. Even as we sit here now, there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of things that could happen to shape this roster, not just the draft. So we don't look at it as like, okay, catch your breath now. It's a long time till we're playing games in September. They're always going to be looking to turn over and churn depth and take advantage of opportunities like the one we saw with Elijah Moore, where they get a player at a great price, and they'll continue to do that stuff. Also hinted out over the weekend that they were never really in on Jerry Jeudy to the point of serious conversation. You're still getting some mixed reports about that. Some people saying that he was that he is still available and they might move him closer to the draft. Sean Payton comes out and says they're not moving either Courtland Sutton or Jerry Jeudy. I don't think they will, especially Jeudy. I think that'd be nonsense at this point to move a rookie talented player that they really need in a tight window of opportunity to move players on that roster. They need those guys. I just don't. It's just so much different than the Elijah Moore situation, so I don't think that one's going to happen. But listen, great stuff from Barry. Good quotes. Talking about these players, giving some insights into some of the young guys and how they pair with the old guys, and especially talking about how these wide receivers are going to impact things, because I think it's abundantly obvious the changes were coming. They're chasing big plays. They need more big plays in the passing game, and excited about that they recognize that. And I think they always have, but it's about opportunity to get certain you know player types that is not always the easiest thing to do. You can't force things to come to fruition at times, and I really like what those quotes were from Barry about that. So excited about where the offense is moving, which is in a direction that I still feel optimistic about, as it's some things that I outlined that I hope that they would do. And again, moving in the right direction. So good stuff from Andrew Barry. Maybe we'll get some more stuff out of the owners' meetings. We'll see. We'll be right back, though. We're going to take our first break of this episode, and then we are going to talk about a couple players that they've added to the roster.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, first up is an addition along the offensive line, and I don't know that we have talked enough about this. They don't have a ton of depth behind the two guards. They have Nick Harris, they have Dawson Deaton, they have Drew Forbes, who they brought back this past year, but they have let go of some people, right? The Blake Hance and Mike Dunns that we have come to know, on top of, obviously, the swing tackle position that they got from Chris Hubbard where he could play inside. They need to make some moves here. Now, the draft could be a part of this, but they decided to bring in Wes Martin. And again, this is probably a guy you're saying, who? That would make a lot of sense, because just like last year when they brought in Ethan Posich, you had no clue that was. Wes Martin is a bit of an unknown. Now, if you're an Ohio high school football fan, maybe you know him. He's at Milton Union, went to Indiana, and he got drafted 131st pick in the 2019 draft. So it's like he wasn't viewed as a talentless UDFA or something along those lines. As we've seen the Browns shuffle through some like Yody Frohol, who's just left. He's played 50 college games. He's been around the NFL for a while. First 2 years were with Washington. Then he was released from Washington before the 21 season. Ended up back on the practice squad, signed with the Giants active roster in September of 2021. Spent the 21 season with the Giants before being waived in May of 22. Claimed by the Jaguars, spent most of training camp with the Jags before being released, and he was claimed again by the Commanders. Made it to their practice squad and spent the 2022 season there. In total, 38 NFL games, starting 11. Not encouraging stuff. He's not, again, this is a guy that they must see some traits that they want to work with. He plays too high. I think he leans and lunges too much. A decent player moving in space, zone concepts, or some of their pulling concepts that they might want to, you know, putting him on the perimeter, such as pin pulls, stuff like that. Maybe a downline kick out in the power counter game. Pulling up for an inside linebacker, but again, this is a player that is not guaranteed to make the roster. Has a good chance because, again, the competition isn't steep at that spot, but to me, is clearly a guy that Callahan and his people have recognized as a player they think they can mold. There's something here. So he started 5 games at right guard as a rookie and at left guard 5 times in his second year, so he's played both guard positions. He made one start for the Giants in 2021, appeared in 6 games for the Commanders in 22, largely special teams based. So, again, this is a guy they can work with, and we should have faith that they can handle this, right? They're identifying and bringing in guys that they think they can mold, that they think they can get something out of. The one thing this offensive line has done, now you can make an argument they haven't developed Jedrick Wills and haven't figured that out, and that's true, but they have taken guys at a lower level and brought their level of play up. Now, we'll see if that changes based on being out of the traditional wide zone stuff and putting a bit more stress on pass blocking. But this is something that we should trust them on, trust Bill Callahan, and hopefully he can bring him along, and he's a veteran minimum. I'm sure his contract won't have much guaranteed to it as he fights for a roster spot. But in totality, it's a player who has a chance to compete in a rather less shallow. I think it's probably the lesser known shallow spot on the roster, because we know the first five, we know James Hudson, and you know Nick Harris backing up at center. Nick Harris has some guard experience at the NFL, very minimal, wasn't great, but he could provide that too. But yeah, you're talking about Drew Forbes, Dawson Deaton, and then are they going to draft somebody? And I'm sure they'll be active on the waiver wire. That's an easy spot to be identifying guys, have a long list of players you'd be interested in working with, and if they get cut, hit the waiver wire, bring them in. That's always something. So it's not anything to be worried about, but it is clearly to me something that they're going to look to continue to address. Joel is continuing to get older. Wyatt Teller's contract is pushing into a spot of flexibility if they wanted to move him at some point. So having some answers there would be interesting. So again, Wes Martin, one-year deal. We'll see what the guaranteed money is, but I do not expect it to be very high at all. Lastly, as we close, I did more research on Jordan Akins, and there's a lot to be optimistic about, man. Like, as far as a pass-catching talent, really impressive. And I think what's interesting to me, and not many people have talked about this, at least from what I've seen, he is a baseball guy. He came out of UCF. He was drafted in the 2010 MLB draft, third round, by the Rangers. So he was in that 2010 UCF signing class, but the deal with the Rangers, third-round bonus money, he took that route. 218 is an outfielder in four seasons. Texas farm system, including a .283 mark, which is solid in 2011. 24 homers, 42 stolen bases, and 321 minor league games played. Then he went back to football in 2014. He plays his freshman year in 14 and 15 as a wide receiver. He actually won the a wide receiver job and then a kick return, punt return job as a sophomore. But then as a bigger guy, he transitioned over to playing tight end in 16 and 17. And he was the first team all-conference accolades. He was a Mackey Award watch list. Did a lot of great things at tight end. And the problem was is that he came into the NFL draft at an age Browns fans are sort of accustomed to here from our exposure to Brandon Whedon, who also played baseball and then went back to college football. Came back to the NFL, I think Whedon came in at 28, Akins came in at 26. So a lot of people thought he might not even get drafted, be a late player. He was actually taken third round pick 98. So he was selected early. There's a lot of promising film. I mean, he had a great Senior Bowl back then. He did a lot of fantastic things. But to me, here's what it is. You see the wide receiver stuff, like a really, really nice receiving player. And he played 4 years with the Texans, thought he did pretty well pairing up with Deshaun for the most part of that time through 20. 21 was obviously a new quarterback. He had his best 2 years, at least in my opinion, in the early portions of his careers, with 19 and 20, where he had 36 catches, 418, and two touchdowns. In 2020, he had 37 catches, 403, and a touchdown. Then in 21, as the entire Texans organization was floundering from figuring out quarterback, a lot of moving parts. He only had 24 catches on 31 targets for 214. They let him go. He hits free agency, decides to sign with the Giants. He actually gets cut. Now, a one-year deal with the Giants gets cut, and a really surprising cut. And he thought he was done with football. And I was just listening to some of his interviews. He was ready to step away and just retire, because at that point, he's coming into this year. He's going to be 31. He is approaching 30 at that point. Gets cut by the Giants, but decides to proceed forward. He gets a call from the Texans, an organization he obviously knows well. They bring him back to the practice squad. Then he finds his way onto the active roster because of injuries and has his best year as a pro. 37 catches on 49 targets, 495, and five touchdowns. He had a phenomenal year pass game production-wise. It's a cool story, man. It's a really cool story. Now, the Texans let him go because he's 31. They're in a rebuild. They don't want to pay him what another organization that values his secondary tight end abilities like Cleveland would pay him. I don't know other teams that were interested, but I don't think it's a mystery why the Texans would let him go. They're trying to develop young players. They have some tight ends like Brevin Jordan they like. There's some promise there. Anyway, it's not surprising to me why they wouldn't try to fight to bring him back. Maybe if it was a vet minimum, they would have tried, but they weren't paying up for something. They're trying to develop some other players. The Browns see this as a valuable player, probably bidding against some others, and see him as a nice two-year piece at an even cheaper yearly number than Harrison Bryant will be, which will put Harrison Bryant in a tough spot. But yeah, man, I mean, he's a pass-catching guy by nature. I mean, his receiving grades have been pretty stellar, especially of late. where I think he gets downfield. He's surprising agility for a guy who's 6'4", 245, 250. He can make plays happen after the catch. He runs really well. I mean, he runs in space. I don't know. I'm going to look up real quick his relative athletic score coming out, but he moves really well down the football field. He didn't run a 40, but I would have to imagine he would have ran a really strong 40. He also has some nice stop-start for a guy his size, the tight end screen stuff he can make plays happen. Gets down the field, catching the ball out and away from his frame, but can also run after the catch, like I said, where he's got many, many catch-and-run plays where he makes somebody miss or he's able to power through people. Does a nice job. And again, I'm posting his film room here on Monday for you guys to check out. OBR subscribers, I'm really impressed. I mean, he gets down the football field well. He's an effortless runner, surprising speed. Like I said, very agile at the catch point that can get away from tackles. If he can maintain contact balance. Like, I really am impressed by how well he's able to either duck away or make people miss or get open in space. And he's as gifted an open field player as David Njoku is. I mean, David, the difference is David's a stellar blocker, and Jordan is not a stellar blocker. You can see the wide receiver stuff here with Akins. I mean, he and I put up some stuff on his blocking. He is about as passive as they come. He's a pretty big sized guy, and he can sometimes handle it, but for the most part, he doesn't want much to do with it. He doesn't put a ton of effort into it all the time. In terms of making those above and beyond blocks, if he's pulling, he doesn't really love to hit bigger defensive ends. I mean, who does? But there are times where he'll pull up and through for a linebacker from like a tight F alignment and tight end, and just not be interested in blocking the right guy. It's not great. I mean, he's a pass catching tight end, a guy who they want to push down the field vertically, allow him to get matched up against mismatches and defenses. He's a much more athletic version of the second tight end that they've been trotting out with Harrison Bryant. The difference is Bryant is a fighting, go-get-it blocker type, and Akins is definitely a pass-catching receiver that is at the position who will block when necessary, but is not looking to do that very often. So that's the difference. So it's really what you want out of that 12 personnel second tight end on the football field. It's clear Akins gives you a lot more flexibility and big play explosion in the passing game. But you have to be very wise about how you use him as a blocker, because you're really not going to get much out of him from that spot. So, that's about it. So that wraps it up. That's everything. Like I said, interesting signing, continuing to add to that offensive line. I think the Browns will, that'll be one of the spots, the depth of that, you know, with the Wes Martin signing, and many more claims will happen. I don't know if they'll draft a guy there. Maybe they will. I'm not sure, if they want to use a draft where they don't have a ton of premium picks, if they want to use something in the 100s on a interior offensive lineman. But it is something down the line to be thinking about. So we'll keep you up to date on that. But yeah, check out the film room of Jordan Akins, which is up. I posted the defensive line, Maurice Hurst, Tristan Hill film room. I'll get to Marquise Goodwin at some point to have that one up for you to see how he's been performing over the last few years with Chicago and Seattle. So check that out. That's it for today, though. Thanks for stopping by. We'll be back Tuesday with a new show and a guest on that one. It won't be me solo, so you'll have somebody else to hear. But listen, I appreciate you being here. I always appreciate you stopping by, listening to this pod, and continuing to check it out, Spotify, Apple, all the major spots. So I appreciate you being here. Have a fantastic Monday, guys, and go Browns.